Good morning, my name's Paul Tolley, and each Friday morning at this time we have our Community Spotlight program, and I'm delighted to be talking to Kerrin Dell. He's the CEO of Regional Cinemas, and he's going to be having somewhat of an impact on the Armidale Duplex Cinema downtown, which I think we're all pretty familiar with. How are you going, Kerrin?
I'm going really well, thanks, Paul.
So let's start off with a little of your background. You belong to a group that's bought the Armidale Cinema. When I read the newspapers online, I see a lot of pubs changing hands, a lot of people interested in paying inflated prices for pubs. I don't see much for the sale of cinemas. What's your interest and what's the background here?
Yeah, look, cinemas don't change hands as often as pubs. And of course, there's usually only one cinema in town as opposed to multiple pubs, particularly here in Armidale. You've got your fair share of pubs. I actually, 22 years ago, I'd moved up a couple of years before out of Sydney, as many people do, for a sea change up to Nambucca Heads on the mid-north coast, and came across the local cinema for sale. And I didn't think that people bought cinemas either, but I realised it was for sale and started talking to some mates of mine. My background was financial services before that. Talked to some mates of mine in financial services who offered me some money to invest, and some of them had some strange connections to the cinema industry. Their families had owned cinemas when they were younger, or their fiancé in one case was the marketing head of IMAX Cinemas in Australia. I had all these weird connections come up, and so I thought it was fated that I end up in cinema. And as a movie lover, you know, I was a big patron of the local cinema. I chose Nambucca because it had a three-screen cinema at the time. It's one of the criteria I had for moving to an area in the country. It had to have a cinema, and a lot of people are the same these days. And we bought our first cinema in Nambucca in 2002. And we probably bought or opened, not all bought, but we've opened or bought about 10 in the meantime, and closed a few in the meantime as well. But so it's been quite a journey. And Armidale will actually make 6 that we operate in regional New South Wales, in northern New South Wales.
And we don't have 3. We're a duplex in Armidale.
I wish we had a third screen, but I'll keep wishing for that. Because it is, I've actually programmed the cinema here in Armidale for the last decade or so. And so I know the difficulty of getting diverse programming into 2 screens, but I think we've done it pretty well here in Armidale.
And we might come back to that a little later when we talk about the market for cinema and one of the criticisms that some cinemas just have only show blockbusters and the rest. There are reasons for that, and you know them and I know them. So let's talk about the history of the cinema itself. I came also to Armidale from Sydney, and I always understood that the cinema was owned by the student union until recently.
Yeah, the history as I understand it is that there were a couple of cinemas in town many years ago, decades ago, and then they closed, I think around about the time that, you know, video came out, and a lot of cinemas sort of closed at that time, and the invention of the multiplex in the cities, etc. And so this Armidale was without a cinema for some time, I believe. And you talk to locals here, and you know they had some screenings up at the university, or they had them in the services club, etc. And so about 30 years ago, a bit over 30 years ago, I'd imagine, the services club and the student union, now known as UNE Life, they got together, and the club built the building, and the UNE Life as it is now, they took on the operation of the cinema, and they've run it for almost 30 years now.
So they didn't own the site, they owned the business.
That's right, and they lease it from the club.
Yeah. And you're doing exactly the same thing.
That's right.
Your group now owns the business.
That's right. So we needed to negotiate with UNE Life to buy the business, and with the service club to lease the premises.
Continue operating as a cinema on the site. Right. Is there a... Just as an aside, I was wondering, is there an economy of scale in having a number of cinemas and dealing with distributors?
Absolutely. As I mentioned, I booked for the cinema here for some time, and that gave them an economy of scale because I could book for, at the time, about 10 or 11 different cinemas. I booked for another one or two as well. And so the ability to deal with distributors, you're dealing with some of the biggest companies in the world, the Walt Disney's, Universal's, Paramount's, Sony, etc. They're the companies that we're dealing with, and we're at an inherent disadvantage when we're trying to negotiate with them. So the more market power you have, the better. And so I think we are going to see more consolidation of cinemas in regional areas, because operating as a one-out in a regional area is a very difficult business model.
And can I say, because I suspect that most of our listeners won't have the background in film that you and I have, but we have different legislation in Australia to the United States. So there's a vertical integration in the States where studios, distributors and cinemas don't necessarily have any separation. But in Australia, the distributors are not supposed to own cinemas, are they?
It's a tricky one, that one. In the US, they had the Paramount decrees, mm-hmm. Which were overturned recently, but they weren't particularly effective. So you do find some distribution companies will own cinemas. So Sony have just bought, I can't remember the name of the cinema group they bought in the US. And so you do see that happening overseas. You don't see it here. There is quite a separation under the ACCC and some of the competition rules.
So the producers, the distributors and the cinemas are different. Mm. So that's a little about your background and the background of the cinema. You've been programming the cinema for quite some time, as you said, but you're now going to have a larger role. Can we expect any changes?
Yeah, so we now be operating the cinema fully, so employing the staff and everything else, and the marketing as well as the programming. Look, we're trying to not make too many changes. We operate already in five other regional areas. We've operated in regional New South Wales for a long time, and people don't like to have a lot of changes. It'll still be called the Belgrave Cinema, so Belgrave Armidale Cinema. So that won't change. All the staff will be existing staff, will be continuing. Not all the existing staff, but all the staff that are continuing will all be existing staff. We'll be honouring things like gift cards and vouchers that people might have bought, so people don't need to worry about that. They can come in and use them. The Belgrave Plus Club that's there will continue. In fact, we'll enhance that a little bit by offering some additional discounts on candy bar purchases. The film club that operates every month will continue. In fact, we've got some screenings this coming opening week of a French film as part of the film club. So, look, not a lot of change. There'll be a few minor pricing changes will happen as part of the changeover. The programming in particular will be, as I said, I've been doing it for over a decade, so it won't change greatly. You know, there'll still be the blockbusters for the kids and the teenagers and the young adults and some of us older guys as well.
And something you just touched on with the film club, one of the reasons that the Belgrade has been a pretty central part, I'd have to say, of Armidale life, everyone knows where it is, everyone sees the movies, is because it's always been very open to allowing groups to share takings with management and show movies to raise money. And we're a curious demographic in Armidale. We've got a university, we've got a TAFE, we've got private schools, so we've got a fairly educated
Absolutely.
Population. And we have quite a large group of people who love film. So if you have an organisation and you need a fundraising, one of the first things that comes to mind always has been, can we show a film? And will you continue that sort of central part of Armidale life?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We do that everywhere we operate. But I would get constant requests from the guys here in Armidale as their film booker to get all sorts of weird and wonderful films. It might be for the university's sci-fi club. It will be for a fundraiser. And we do that everywhere. So that's absolutely the case. The beauty of being in a digital world is we can actually access a whole lot of old films that we never could before. So one of the things that we'll bring here is a regular retro film program. So we've got the 30th anniversary of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, coming up in the next few weeks, and The Dish will bring back and those sort of things. So those will be part of our programming. But if people want to get a particular film or if they want to take one of the existing films we've got showing and they want to run a fundraiser.
Or have access to a film themselves, which might be a low distribution film.
That's right. So there are some who will bring their own film and they want a screening of that. We do all of that. We're approached by the Indian community to run an Indian film, which is going to run in the next few weeks. So all of that
people
stuff
should just come into the cinema and say, who shall I talk to if they want to use the cinema?
Yeah, they can do a couple of things. They can go onto the website and there's a contact us and that'll come directly to me if they've got a question, or they can go in and talk to Josh, our manager down there, or David, who was the previous manager, who will still be around, or any of the staff, and they'll get the message to me and we'll work it through.
Now, you touched on something interesting a little while ago, and again, not everyone has the background that you and I have. One of the difficulties in running a cinema for many, many years, particularly if you had a 70 mil print coming in, was the physical size and weight of the print. And you'd always have to get them up two flights of stairs generally to the projection room and lace them up. And 70 mil is a large, heavy box. And we don't have to do that anymore. So I'm guessing the Armidale Cinema has now gone digital, which means pretty much, well, you could run off a disc, but you use different systems, of course.
Yeah, it's a proprietary cinema format for digital. But yes, we've been fully digital as an industry pretty much for about 11 years now. There are still a few sites, mostly only in the cities, that might run some 35mm or 70mm.
And Cremorne.
There's three 70mm, Cremorne, Randwick Ritz, and George Street in Sydney that run 70mm. We never ran 70mm in the country, but we did run 35mm. And if you had a three-hour Lord of the Rings or something, that's still pretty heavy for a 35mm. And when you had some of the old sites, like here in Armidale, where you might have had two separate projection boxes and you had to take it down the stairs and round, you needed strong projectionists in those days. We don't have projectionists anymore. It's more of an IT specialist these days.
Yeah, done from a keyboard. But look, interestingly enough, my interest in film started in primary school, and we had an old Bell and Howe projector, and I got myself trained as the projectionist, probably about 9 years or 10 years of age. And I remember the take-up spool breaking and having to run the finger round and round.
People don't believe that we used to have to sticky tape reels together. Yeah. Literally, you were splicing, as they call it, sticky taping the reels together. I never actually learned to be a projectionist myself, because when I started in this industry 22 years ago, they said it'll be digital in a couple of years. It took about 11 years, but we finally got there.
I'm assuming, let's go off on another little side channel because I think it's interesting. I'm assuming that from the very beginning of digital projection, we'll call it that, that the sound quality, I think the sound quality has improved from that, and I guess that's got to do with bandwidth and all sorts of things, but I do think that the images may have got a bit sharper, but I've noticed the big change is in the audio.
Yeah, look, the real benefit of digital, and there were the film purists, you may have been one of them, that said, oh, we don't want to move away from 35mm, we love the old film, and there were still some, like Christopher Nolan as a director, who still film on 35mm, but what happened was, particularly in regional areas, is that we would sometimes get secondhand prints, and those secondhand prints would come sometimes from overseas because they might release it in the US first and then they'd send the prints out around the world physically. And those prints would get scratched, and so the image wasn't as great on the screen. But also the sound was on the edge of the film.
Magstripe.
That's right. And and so that sound would also degrade, and so it wasn't as good. Whereas with digital, you get the very first screening to the very last screening is exactly the same image on the screen, and exactly the same sound.
But I suspect the audio technology, the sound technology has also improved since digital display first started.
Yeah, look, I think it has. And I think what we've found is that the filmmakers are getting better at sound engineering and understanding that sound is an absolutely integral part of the experience. It's not just about the picture. The sound is absolutely crucial.
We have Academy Awards for best song and for best film composition and
sound editor.
And sound editing and Foley editors and the whole range of it. Yeah. And it is absolutely critical. And soundtrack albums a couple of decades ago became a thing. And when producers discovered they could make additional money or get additional funding by releasing soundtrack albums.
One of the big issues for movie makers now is the cost of actually getting the rights to music for their films. It's a big issue in the industry.
Yeah, that the money be shared. perhaps equitably, perhaps not. Depending
there's different sides of the argument.
So you're going to stay pretty much doing what we know. You'll still have that engagement with the community. You'll still have that recognition of a particular demographic in Armidale. So let's move on to the fact that one of the things that for a lot of people, older people, was unsatisfactory was that we all love going to the movies. Well, let's talk about that. Let's go there first. There's something, look, I've got a large 4K beautiful TV, but there's still some joy in getting a group of people together and going to the cinema. It's a different experience. And one, of course, we've just talked about the audio. One of the sound is one of the experiences you get in the cinema. But there's a social aspect, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, people have talked about the death of cinema since the talkies started. Radio, TV, VCRs came in. And then, of course, streaming in the last decade. And the cinema always adapts, it always changes, and it always survives. And there's a few reasons for that. Obviously, you can't get, even on the biggest TV, you can get, you know, people are buying 85-inch TVs now. Even on the biggest screen you get at home, you can't get the same image, you can't get the same sound, the surround sound, as you can at the cinema. So that's part of it. But in essence, it's about, we're social animals. And people, research says that about 90% of people watch streaming shows at home by themselves these days. About 90% or 95% of people who go to the cinema go with someone else.
With somebody else or in a
group. It might be your first date. It might be an elderly couple and everything in between. You know, girls groups, ladies groups go out. Middle-aged women tend to come to movies like Barbie in big groups, or It Ends Like Us recently and so on. So it's that social element. And there's actually quite a bit of research about the mental health benefits of that, not just from being social, but immersing yourself in the story. So I don't know about you, but when I'm at home watching something, I've got my phone or my iPad and I'm, I've got other distractions around, and you don't fully immerse. And there's actually research showing that your brain waves react differently being at the cinema.
You touched tangentially on it there, and that is that the reason that the death of cinema is greatly exaggerated and that it does always adapt is because storytelling is such an inherent quality of being human.
Yeah. Oh, it goes back to, beyond, but to Homer and the ancient Greeks was storytelling.
Iliad, the Odyssey
and it evolved into a film industry, 100 plus years ago.
That, Aboriginal culture rests on storytelling.
It's all about storytelling. Mm. And so, occasionally Hollywood in particular, which is of course the main maker of these films for us, unfortunately, in some people's view. But Hollywood can lose its way sometimes when it forgets that it's telling stories and it just tries to make pictures on the screen.
Or propaganda.
Mm. That's right. So when Hollywood gets back to what it does best, which is crafting stories that are global in nature, they aren't just American in nature. That's when we really have a lot of take up from a cinema point of view.
And I think that's why it will adapt. And I've seen cinemas that now have coffee shops connected to them, or you can even have a meal at the cinema. There's all sorts of things have been tried. So we suspect film will go on. But I was going to make the point, and then I thought it would go down that little rabbit warren for a little while, that one of the things for older people is that one of the groups that likes to go to cinemas is teenagers and early 20s, because they get away from home, they get away from their parents, they form a group, it's a very social thing, and they go off. And Hollywood's worked out what appeals to that market, and it is the blockbuster, and it is the
Marvel,
franchise.
Marvel films, those sort of things.
All that sort of thing. Yeah. Are we still going to have a place in Armidale for showing films? Because you've only got two screens and you obviously have to run a business, but do we still have a space for the films that perhaps older people like myself might enjoy
Absolutely. I mean, there's a couple of elements to that. A lot of people are actually saying that young people aren't going to the cinema because they're too busy on their phones and streaming. Not the case. They still love going to the cinema, and not just for the blockbusters. They'll come for other movies as well that appeal to them. They might be, teen romances or that sort of thing. But there is the other side of the market is there is still a huge, huge market for an older audience. Let's call them 40, 50 plus, right through to, in their 70s, 80s and beyond. And it's a really important demographics to cover. Absolutely, we'll be covering that, particularly in regional areas where we do have an older demographic anyway. It's very important to cover that, not just the blockbusters. But it'll be the foreign films, the film club we talked about, the international film festivals and so on that do appeal to that more sophisticated.
Which we've had in Armidale, of course.
And they will continue absolutely as they have. In fact, possibly even more. There will be, where there are not enough movies made for an older audience out of Hollywood, so sometimes we have to source them from elsewhere.
A lot more European and even some of the Arabic countries are making Korea is another.
Yeah, look, some of the foreign movies are great, but we've got a movie starting this week which we'll be showcasing tonight at our opening night, which is called Thelma. And Thelma is an action movie with a 93-year-old grandma who has been scammed of some money, and she goes on the rampage to to recover her money, and firmly aimed at an older audience, and looks like a real lot of fun.
Now, I've got to take you here, Australian films, and we could fill a day talking about problems in the Australian film industry, the dearth of films, the reasons for it, etc. And you and I briefly touched on that on the phone when we introduced ourselves earlier. But do you have an interest in trying to support Australian cinema and good Australian films?
Yeah, look, I think I've got a bit of a reputation with distributors and others in the industry that I will always try and support Australian films where I can. It's not been easy because the Australian film industry, to be honest, has been struggling for a while, partly because they're not making the movies that people want to see.
And goes back to the storytelling. Ask yourself why Man from Snowy River was such a success. Ask yourself why the film about the beginnings of the Newsfront.
Why do those films keep
coming back? They're great stories.
Even in more recent times with movies like The Dressmaker, which really hit the mark, or Mao's Last Dancer, or The Sapphires. You know, those movies really hit a mark, and we need to make
Rabbit Proof Fence was another.
Absolutely. We need to make more movies like that, in my view. We need to make some for the younger generation as well. So we've got one coming out called Runt for these school holidays. And that's a book by Craig Silvey, the Australian author. And it looks like a lot of fun for a younger family audience. Because in some of our cinemas over the time, we have teenagers who work for us, as ushers, etc. We've got teenagers who work for us who've never seen an Australian film in their life.
Is that right?
And that is an absolute tragedy. And so we need to make films for a younger generation, not just the older generation. We need to make films that appeal to regional markets, not just to about someone shooting up in a back alley in King's Cross, because people don't want to see that in Australian films. They want to see Feel Good. They want to see Red Dog. They want to see those sort of movies.
Brand New Day.
Brand New Day was another one. It was a huge hit. Yeah, I remember. And we're not getting as many of them as we used to get, unfortunately.
There's something about telling your own stories and seeing your own stories on the screen that, how shall I say, it's not just a part of the culture. It's about shaping and maintaining and developing and honing a country's cultural identity.
Exactly. I mean, film is very important as an educational tool. It's not just an entertainment medium. It's actually something that people learn from. They experience the rest of the world. They see an Iranian movie, or they see an American movie or a French movie, and they see what's going on around the world. We're not getting that Australian story out to the world, but also to our own population who want to see themselves reflected on the screen. And we're getting an American culture. We're getting a Hollywood culture that changes our society. And film plays a really important role from a culture and society point of view.
I can give you an example, and it quite shocked me at the time. I was out in a remote community in the Northern Territory, and there were a woman at the art centre painting, and then they did what they often do. They get up to stretch their old hips and knees, and one will sing and they'll dance, and then they'll get down on the ground and paint again. And I was watching them, and I said to one of them, no young woman, no young people, just all old ladies singing and dancing. And one of them looked at me and literally had a tear in her eye, and she said to me, young ones only interested in hip-hop and baseball cap backwards. And that's the point you're making.
That's exactly right. And if we don't have Australian stories that our kids see, then they'll grow up and they won't watch Australian films. They won't watch Australian media and culture. And it's a real problem that we have in this country.
Because there is a continuity of storytelling, isn't there? I mean, and if your film industry falls over for a while, you lose that continuity, don't you?
And it's happened in Australia before, and it had to be revived. And we need to revive it again, because we want our young people to know about Australian stories so they can make the films of the future. Because the rest of us, we're not going to be here in however many decades.
And I'm sure you and I both, but who knows, that Australia was there at the very, with people like Chevelle and others, we were at the very beginning. We had a film industry when perhaps it was maybe three countries.
Yeah, we're one of the first film industries, if not the first, in the world. We also had the exploitation films of, what was it, the 70s and 80s and so on. And Quentin Tarantino came out of a lot of that. So we've led the world in a lot of ways, and it's a real shame that we've fallen behind the pack now.
So back to Armada. Back
get on
to
our hobby horse there.
Well, we did a little bit, but it was hopefully that's interesting. So back to Armadale. You're opening tonight.
Yes, we've got an opening function tonight, and so we open to the public Thursday the 5th, tomorrow. So that that's
with your 90-year-old granny super.
So we've got you know, Thelma, the 93-year-old granny movie, and Beetlejuice, which of course is a sequel to a 34-year-old movie with Michael Keaton back as the iconic Beetlejuice. So some quite a variety, plus variety of other things. Mr. Blake at Your Service, a French movie, and a whole range of other Bookworm, a New Zealand movie. There's all sorts of, you know, something for everyone.
So we really need to encourage people to continue to support the cinema and to see the cinema as a central part of Armidale life, and to recognise if they've got fundraising exercise or anything else, all of that won't change, and that we'll have movies that won't just be blockbusters, and things will pretty much continue. So you're obviously here for the long haul.
Yeah, look, I'm 22 years in this industry. I believe in the future. We've had a few hard years with COVID, and then Hollywood strikes and bushfires before COVID. Yeah, it's been a tough few years, but most cinemas have managed to get through it, and we see a bright future. But it is about diverse programming for the individual communities, and we program differently for all the six communities we service. There's a bright future.
If you continue to support the Armidale Cinema and go to the movies you like, you'll be sitting in that back room and you'll say, oh, there is a market for smart, intelligent adult films. So by coming along, you actually help shape
that's right, because if the filmmakers and the studio executives don't see any money in making comedies or smart adult films or intelligent product, then they won't make them. I've had Australian producers say to me, we just need to make more, zombie horror movies. Well, that's the last thing we need to do. We need to make a diversity of content. And if we support that content, then it will continue to be made.
We need to support it, because one of the ways, there are really two art forms which are a little similar. One's opera and one's filmmaking, and they are both really, really expensive. Putting an opera on stage, making a film, neither of those things are cheap. So you have to consider, like it or not, the return to your investors, and investors won't continue to support film if they don't occasionally get a
it's called show business for a reason. Yeah. It's show, but it's also a business.
Yes.
And there needs to be a return. Investors can't keep taking losses, and so they've got to see that there's an audience. And again, that's why with Australian films, they've perhaps lost sight of the fact that you need to make a film for an audience. That wants to see an audience.
Not for a tax break.
Not for a tax break, and not for your own, purposes, for you and your friends to see.
For catharsis.
Exactly. It's got to be interesting to an audience to watch.
So let's both encourage the citizens of Armidale, the Good Burgers, to continue supporting the cinema and to get along and to watch good movies. And by choosing to watch and go and sit in the cinema with a group of friends, you do shape the movies that you may hope to see in the future. I hope it goes well. Lovely talking about the cinema. I've been talking with Karen Dell, who is the CEO of Regional Cinemas, who have taken over the Belgrave Cinema and Armidale. We wish you well, because I, for one, love going to the movies, and we just want people to keep doing that.
Thank you, Paul, and we look forward to seeing you at the movies.
Thank you very much.